Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jamuna Tira Vanacharya. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Vijakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Shimari's Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, entitled Jaya and Vijaya, Cursed by the Sages. We'll be doing texts 33, 34, and 35. So 33 and 34 we'll do simultaneously, and 35 responsively. So 33. Tatu Girvana Rishabo Dustara Dari Lokata Hata Shreyo Brahma Shapad Adbhutam Vigatasyamo. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. But those two gatekeepers, the best of the demigods, their beauty and luster diminished by the curse of the Brahmanas, became morose and fell from Vaikuntha, the abode of the Supreme Lord. 34. Tada Vaikuntha Deshanat Tayor Nipatamanayo Hahakaro Mahanashid Virmana Greshu Putraka. Translation. Then, as Jayan Vijay fell from the Lord's abode, a great roar of disappointment arose from the demigods who were sitting in their splendid airplanes. And 35, responsively. Taveva yaduna prapto Parshada pravarovare Dittir jatara nirvishtam. Kasya pam teja ulbanam. Please chant. Tadeva yaduna prapto. Ashapam teja ulbanam. Taviva dhyana papto. Parshada paravohare. Dittir jatara nirvishtam. Kashapam teja ulbanam. Mutters. Taviva yaduna prapto. Nashada pravaro hare. Dittir jatara nirvishtam. Kasyapam teja ulbanam. Taviva yaduna prapto. Parishada pravaro hare. Dittir jatara nirvishtam. Kasyapam teja ulbanam. Do. Those two get doorkeepers. Eva. Certainly. He. Addressed. Uduna. Now, prapto, haven't gotten. Parshada pravarao, important associates. Harihe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Daite, of Diti. Jatara, womb. Nirvishtam, entering. Kasyapam, of Kasyapa Muni. Tejaha, semen. Ulbanam, very strong. Purport, a translation of purport. Translation, Lord Brahma continued, those who, two principal doorkeepers of the personality of Godhead have now entered the womb of Diti, the powerful semen of Kasyapa Muni having covered them. Purport. Here is clear proof of how a living entity coming originally from Vaikuntha Loka is encaged in material elements. The living entity takes shelter within the semen of a father, which is injected within the womb of a mother. And with the help of the mother's emulsified ovum, the living entity grows a particular type of body. In this connection, it is to be remembered that the mind of Kasyapa Muni was not in order when he conceived the two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Therefore, the semen he discharged was simultaneously extremely powerful and mixed with the quality of anger. It is to be concluded that while conceiving a child, one's mind must be very sober and devotional. For this purpose, the Garbhadhana Samskara is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. If the mind of the father is not sober, the semen discharge will not be very good. Thus, the living entity wrapped in a matter produced from the father and mother will be demoniac, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. Om Gana Timrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumirtamina Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Virbhava Prabhuti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shri Virabhavi Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarni Hare Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya has very expertly orchestrated this Sankirtan movement, this Yuga Dharma for this age, where he encompassed every aspect of our life to live very comfortably, live very peacefully, live in a way that we can enjoy life here according to religious principles and enjoy life after we quit this body. So we can enjoy the best of both worlds. So even though Lord Chaitanya himself only gave a handful of verses, but he carefully orchestrated and arranged for his followers and descendants to give every aspect of knowledge and guidance that is needed for us to carry on our life peacefully in this material world. And at the end, go back home, back to Godhead. One such orchestration is that what he arranged in the way of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was charged with the task of bringing about all these scriptures, all these books, so that others can get access to them. However, in those days, in the library, these books weren't allowed to be copied, nor were they allowed to be brought out of the library. So what he did, he memorized all 351 or 352 books, something like that. He memorized them all from the library, came out, and wrote them so that we have access. Unfortunately, many of those got lost during this Muslim regime, and some of the prints are not available today. So one of those books that he presented was the Sat Kriya Sara Dipika, which is the book that gives all the Vedic rituals and samskars for us to perform throughout our lives from before conception until through our leaving this body. Everything is there. He gave total description of everything so that we can use this information and put it, practice it into our lives and make our lives successful. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is referring to here, that these samskaras are there in the Vedic literatures. So in particular here today, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the Garbhadhan samskara, that this samskara, that we should practice, is very essential, that we should practice the samskara, we should understand the science. Srila Prabhupada himself is saying that this, what the exact words is that, that the conditions of conception are to be carefully studied. This is a very great science. So even though Srila Prabhupada didn't say what they are, but he gave instructions that they should be carefully studied. So at this point, I want to ask, does anyone in the room here knows of anywhere where Srila Prabhupada give details of this Garbhadhan samskara in any of his books or writings? Does anyone know? I didn't do much research, but so far I haven't found any. So anyway, at least in this purport, he hasn't given any details, but he gave his instructions that this should be carefully studied. So which means we have a lifetime of homework. As with many of his purports, he would give instructions. And so he put that instruction here for a particular purpose. Because these books, as Srila Prabhupada predicted, are going to be the standard for humanity for the next 10,000 years. So these instructions are there. So even though the details aren't there, it's on us to go and find those details and practice it in our Krishna consciousness. So in this case, the situation is very clear about the descent of these two personalities, these two very faithful servants of the Lord, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya, and Vijay. And for some reason that they were cursed by these sages, even though we understand that they are pretty much innocent. So we can argue about this, that well, there are two categories of personalities here. One, on one side, there are the two doorkeepers, which are performing their duties as servants. And on the other hand, you have the four Kumaras, who are in the form of sages. So by natural etiquette, the sages are to be given the upper hand, that they are to be respected in every way, shape, and form. But in this case, Jan, Vijay, they rejected them. They blocked them from entering the Vaikuntha planets. So have they actually disrespected them, or have they done their jobs? So we can argue differently, but in this case, we can see that they have performed their duty. Their duty is to block anyone from entering the Vaikuntha planets who are not totally qualified to enter there. And as we understand, these four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis. They were not total Vaishnavas. They were not total devotees. So from that angle, they had a right to stop them. But in the course of doing their duties, sometimes in this world, to perform your duties, there are reactions to it. It's just the way the world is set up. I know sometimes I got chastised on Ratha Yatras by senior devotees. On a few occasions it happened that for doing our service, somebody may not like it and they objected, and there's some chastisement, which I took it very simply because they're seniors. So, you know, like that, the etiquette is there. So in this case, of course, we understand from a few verses before, verse 30, where Lakshmi Devi is saying that she predicted that this would happen because they even blocked her from re-entering the Vaikuntha planets when Lord Vishnu was taking rest. So all of this, of course, we understand all of this are orchestrated carefully by the Lord himself. All these arrangements were made so that the Lord can perform his pastimes. But in detail, for our purposes, we can see things from different angles. So here it's described, Srila Prabhupada is describing this Garbhadhan Samskara that we see from the example how these two personalities from Vaikuntha became encaged in the material world. Of course, we understand that no one can fall from Vaikuntha, but that's a whole different argument, a whole different discussion. But by the Lord's arrangement, these two personalities, they fell. And according to the pastimes here, the history of Kasyapa Muni, he was this very great, powerful sage. He was performing his jagyas and so forth. And one of his wives, Diti, she became overcome by desires and she was trying to coax him, encourage him to go into procreation. So even though he was saying, well, now is just not the right time for that, that according to the stars and so forth, is just not the right moment, that if we get into that program, then the offsprings would not be very desirable. And by whatever reason, again, we can say by Krishna's arrangement, that she disregarded those reasoning and keep pushing for her desires to be fulfilled. And Kasyapa Muni, even though a great sage, became subjected to his wife's desire. And of course, according to this, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that is mixed with anger, so we can understand that Kasyapa Muni became angry because proper system is not being followed, but at the same time subjecting himself to his wife's desire. And as such, the children came forth, are who they are, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So like this, if the proper mood is not there, then this is what the conception and offspring would be. Going to the fifth canto with Lord Rishabhadev, he was telling his 100 sons, he says that you are actually born from my heart. Bhagavatam 5.5.20, that verse is there. He said, you are actually born from my heart, and therefore, you are all very sober and very devotional. However, your eldest brother, Maharaj Bharat, he is most advanced, and you should follow him. You should take instructions and guidance from him. So, we all know that no children are born from the heart. You know, no one is born from the heart. It's born from different parts of the body. But what sets the pace is the condition of the heart at the time of conception. That's what sets the standard. That's what sets the pace for the quality of the children to be brought forth. So we have some examples of this in our Vedic literatures, and also some of you can probably bring some more examples. For example, the three Dhritarashtra brothers. After the killing of King Vichitravirya, his two wives were left without children, Ambika and Ambalika. So the queen mother, Satyavati, summoned her son, Srila Vyasadeva, to impregnate these queens. And what did Srila Vyasadeva said? He said now he would do as she commanded, but now is not the right time. But still she insisted that she doesn't want to wait. The kingdom is in jeopardy. The whole ancestry is risk at being lost. As we find with the whole Vedic culture, is always in crisis from day one. It's always some crisis going on, just life in the material world. So the result of that she insisted on Srila Vyasadeva that, no, I want you to impregnate these queens now. The result of that is that the first queen, when she saw the condition of the sage, who are generally sages, aren't very materially presentable. They have locks, their clothes aren't very clean, they look, what we can say, gross looking. Generally, that's how they are. So these queens, they weren't the princesses, they weren't exposed to such things. So the first princess or queen, she, at the time of conception, she was so fearful that she closed her eyes. The result of that, Dhritarashtra was born blind. The second conception, when she saw the sage, the second queen, she became pale. The result of that, the child born was Pandu, who was pale and had health issues, was weak. And of course, the third, the queen sent a maid servant instead. The result of that, Vidura was born. But even though he born in the form of a Shudra, from a Shudra woman, his intelligence of Yamaraj still prevailed. And then also, according to some commentators, that Dhritarashtra, after growing up, he was blind, so he naturally couldn't have inherited the throne. But he had that strong desire to usurp the throne, to take control over the throne. So what he did, as what many people would do, okay, I cannot fulfill that desire, but I would like to have a child who can fulfill that desire. So he was always meditating that, let me get a child, let me get a son who can usurp the kingdom, who can take the kingdom, because I am not able to do it, but I have that desire, I want my son to do it. The result of that, a son like Duryodhana was born, whose lifelong goal was how to control the kingdom, how to usurp the kingdom. So like that. And then we also have, other examples. So another one just came to mind. Maharaj Anga. He wanted to get a son that can, this is according to some commentary, says like this, that he wants to get a son that can cause him to renounce the kingdom, because he wants to renounce as the normal practice. Your sons take over the kingdom, then you can renounce. So he had a desire. So the result of that is that his son came, Vena, who literally forced him out of the kingdom. He forced him to renounce. So, like that, that's another example, that's another way. Lately, there's one ISKCON devotee who told a story that her husband wanted very strongly to get a son who would be very, very renounced, who can renounce everything. So that was like his whole mood, his whole meditation, that I want a son that can renounce everything, that be so renounced. So they indeed conceived a child. The son was born. When the son grew up, then the mother was telling and lamenting that the child became so renounced. He renounced everything, all material life he renounced. He renounced his parents. He renounced Krishna. He renounced devotional service. So he renounced everything. So they weren't like complete in their package of what, you know, they were asking for. So sometimes these things are there. So can anyone give some examples of, you know, of these meditations and what children were brought about from the Vedic scriptures or anything? Anyone? Say? Okay, can you give the story? You can take the microphone. Prabhu is bringing it for you. Please tell us that story.
Yeah, so there is a story that, what's his name? Maharaj Chitraketu? Mm-hmm. Maharaj Chitraketu, he really wanted a son, mm-hmm. but Narada Muni told him that, no, you are not allowed in this lifetime to have a son. So, but anyway, he prayed and asked back him. Not Narada Muni, someone else, some other sage. Angira Muni.
Angira.
Yeah, Angira Muni. So he prayed to him, yeah, please give me a son anyway. But according to his karma, he would not allow to have a son. But when the son was born, he brought him happiness and distress at the same time.
Yeah, so all these things, mother, surname? Mataji over here? That's Mataji in the center there with the girl.
Haribol. Yeah. Bhakti Vinod Thakur had prayed for ray of Vishnu And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Yes, that's a very, very nice example. Mother Guru Prasad here. Okay, so Mother Marumati over here. So why is minds think alike? So the two of you had the same.
Vyasadev, he prayed for a son who he could give the Bhagavatam to.
Yeah.
And although initially Sukadev didn't take it, but then later on he did take the Bhagavatam and gave it to everybody.
Yeah, thank you very much so much. That's a very nice example. Any other examples? So anyway, so Srila Prabhupada is instructing us here that we should carefully study the science of the Garbhadhan Samskara and practice. So within that, if you study that book, there are so many instructions that devotees would follow before conceiving a child. Okay, let's go to Trivikram Prabhu. Seems he has something to say.
Even though there might be details in that samskara, he requests a disciple to chant 50 rounds before procreation. Copulation or the time of copulation.
Mm.
I guess that was like a standard.
That's part of the samskara.
Not too many.
Yeah, that's part of the samskara. So
not too many people might.
Yeah,
but that was his request, you know.
Yes, and Krishna gives that same instruction too. He said, "I am sex life according to religious principles." So if these principles are followed nicely, then it is not enjoyment, it is devotional service. If followed according to religious principles, then procreation is also part of devotional service. Even though Srila Prabhupada warned very sternly in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, 425, 62, where he says that that sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same. Because there's such narrow difference, narrow in our mentality and our structure, then we can easily switch from one to the next. So Srila Prabhupada very carefully warned against that, and he gave a nice purport and very detailed. So yes, these things should be followed. It is our duty to study these items, follow what Srila Prabhupada is saying, follow those samskaras. Of course, for devotees, every day, our life should be in that mood of practice and service. But still, as icing on the cake, at these times, we do all these extra so that additional benefits are there, that so much more can be achieved. So all these instructions are there, not for any, just for being there, but it all has its purpose. And Srila Prabhupada's plans on expanding this movement, in so doing, he gave all these instructions that, okay, you study this, follow these instructions, practice, try to engage as much as possible, engage in devotional service, make our heart suitable for the future generations to come. So we all have this responsibility to understand this science, to live in the within the parameters of the Bhagavatam and these instructions. And like that, our life can be very, very simple and successful. So again, we understand that all of this is actually the careful plan of the Lord to have these two personalities come in this material world for his by his arrangement and for his pleasure. But in so doing, there are so many instructions that are there that are given and passed down to all of us. And if we carefully carry this on, we carefully follow, patiently stick to what has been given to us, even though many of us might have late starts, then nevertheless, these information and instructions are there for us to carry on in our daily lives. So every page of the Bhagavatam, every word, every sentence that Srila Prabhupada gave is so very instructive. And he gave us a complete package. We remember from the Lilamrita in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada was teaching his disciples and followers everything, you know, from how to wake up, how to keep themselves clean, what to do, what not. We heard of reading from Mother Mukhya this morning, how to bathe the deities, you know, everything. He gave every single thing. Just imagine. Can you imagine what a blessing and mercy that is, that somebody come into your life and teach you everything very patiently? Like there was one pastime where one devotee was saying that Srila Prabhupada was in his room, there was some noise outside, and the devotees, they were talking loud and whatever, so Srila Prabhupada came out, folded his hand very patiently and says, "Please be quiet," or something to that effect, that he was doing his work. And then they're saying that Srila Prabhupada says that with full patience, full humility, and that he had to do that literally 100 times. But he was always very patient and very peaceful. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says the same thing in a different way, that only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. So these instructions are there. So from every angle, all these instructions are there. So anyway, these are just some thoughts I had on these set of verses. If anyone has any questions or comments, Trivikram Prabhu.
So if Aditi had followed the instruction of Kashyapa and wait for the appropriate time, what type of demons would have taken board?
Well, that I don't know. What I do know is that personality like those, such great persons like Mother Aditi and Kashyapa Muni and all these characters that are there mentioned, that they are there placed in these strategic positions for particular purposes to effect the plan of the Lord. Because just understand, so Mother Aditi was such an advanced devotee, such an advanced chaste lady. And how come she becomes subjected to such an act? Just like we can question Maharaj Parikshit, such an advanced devotee that had a personal association of the Lord even before he took his birth. He had personal darshan of Krishna. And he grew up his entire life in such an atmosphere, the atmosphere of the Pandavas, such a divine atmosphere, such pure advanced personality that the Bhagavatam described him that he was equally advanced as his teacher, Sukadeva Goswami. And that he could have been the teacher and Sukadeva Goswami could have been the student to give Bhagavatam to. And still, how did he subject himself to this ghastly act of disrespecting a Brahmin? Why? If that did happen, where would we have been today? If Srila Prabhupada's wife wasn't non-cooperative with him, she was taking tea and so forth and wasn't so inclined, if his children weren't so inclined to Krishna consciousness, then probably Srila Prabhupada wouldn't have been here. He wouldn't have left his hometown of Vrindavan, all the comfort, and come here to give us everything that we have today. So all these things you can see it as Krishna's arrangement, like one like Diti acted in that way by the will of the Lord and covered in a certain way so that these personalities can take birth. For such great personalities to take birth, no ordinary man or woman can endure them to take birth. It is described that Diti had them in her womb for 100 years. And even though they were within the womb of Diti, they were still creating so much havoc in the universe, even though they haven't taken birth as yet. So it takes great personalities to control persons like this who are directly descendants from the Vaikuntha planets, direct descendants, the personal associates of the Lord. No one can control them very easily. So that's some thoughts I have. Vyasasuna Prabhu. Okay, let's go to Akinchana Krishna Prabhu, seeing that you're close by, then we come to Vyasasuna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I remember when Srila Prabhupada said to some boy that, give me him, I'll make him an acharya. Mm-hmm. So like, can an acharya be, can someone become an acharya without Garbhadhan Samskar?
Yes. Like Srila Prabhupada told the devotees, you know, look all these devotees we have within this movement, and especially those in the West. Let's say India, they have all these samskars, or people still practice. In the West, look how many, so many advanced devotees are there, preaching, doing so much wonderful projects around the world. Srila Prabhupada said that I have created your good fortune. So from personality, like Srila Prabhupada, despite how degraded you are, he has the ability to bring you up, to create that good fortune, like all of us. You know, some devotees came, some guru comes, and we didn't have to search for them. They come and search for us. And they have created that good fortune. Some may say, well, it's from our karma. Yes, that's there. But the big thing with the speciality of this Krishna consciousness movement, this Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, that there is no background that's barred from entering Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. And how do they enter? By the mercy of the devotees. Adau Shraddha Sadhu Sangha, the initial faith and the association of devotees. So that creates that good fortune, that turn our karma around. Like it's stated that when in kirtan, that when one is clapping their hands and chanting in kirtan, as one claps their hands, the lines on the palms of their hands changes, and that changes in accordance to how our karma is being flown away. Like the example is given that when there are a flock of birds and you clap your hands, they got scared and they all fly away. So like that, when devotees clap their hands in kirtan, our karma flies away. All by the blessings of the devotees, the acharyas, the Vaishnavas.
I heard someone say all the Srila Prabhupada disciples are part of
Gaura Lila. Why can that be true? Why can that not be true? That everyone who takes birth or takes precedence or join this Krishna consciousness movement, at least that's the way I understand it, that we're all part of Gaura Lila. Not only Srila Prabhupada's disciples, but if you look around at us here and who are probably listening or devotees, that there are a million things that they could have been doing out in the material world. But why have they chosen to give that up and come here? It's not by chance. I was just listening when I was in Guyana lately, the Ratiyatra, the president for Guyana was there at the Ratiyatra, and he gave a speech. A Muslim guy. And what was so significant about his speech, he was saying that it is not by chance that this ISKCON movement is here in Georgetown, is here in Guyana. He said that's the way he's seeing it. It's not by chance that so many Hare Krishnas are here in Guyana. It's not by chance that we are performing all these activities to bring about peace in society. It's that God's hand is directly involved. That was the essence of his speech. Thank you so much, Vyasa Sunar Prabhu, if the question still holds.
Thank you. I just want to add another example that Hiranyakashipu, he conceived Prahlad Maharaj thinking of Krishna, and Prahlad Maharaj was born. Mm-hmm. And my question, similar to this Prabhu, mm-hmm. How come that we, most of us, was conceived like in very bad consciousness, and mm-hmm. how come that we become a devotees all of a sudden?
Yeah. Again, it's the Adaushada Sadhu Sangha, Association of Devotees, you know, the initial faith and the association. So by the association of devotees, everyone's karma and activities can change. There is no limit to it. And as much as we take the mercy, then we can get that blessings. Like one time Srila Prabhupada was walking around the temple. Morning, just before Govindam Guru Puja time, he was walking and with his disciples, some of his disciples. And in the temple room, what's his name? Vishnu Jan Swami. He was keeping this wonderful kirtan. So one disciple commented to Srila Prabhupada, said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, just see how much mercy you have given to him." Srila Prabhupada turned around, stuck his cane in the ground, and he said, "No, that's not how it is." He said, "My mercy is with everyone, but he took it." So like that, you know, the mercy is there for everyone, but who has the faith to take the mercy, to come and take shelter, then the benefit would be there. Stitidi Muni Prabhu?
Yeah, I was recently reading Recollection of These Devotees from Vrindavan, Memories of Vrindavan, all the devotees who were there when they got the Vrindavan temple established. And when they installed the deities there, I guess Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Krishna Balaram first. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, they installed the deities, and Prabhupada made sure they got all these pundits to do all these rituals. And you know, this is a pretty famous thing. Mm. And the devotees, you know, multiple recollections are, Prabhupada was telling them, you know, it's good to do all these rituals because it keeps the locals all confident we're doing, mm-hmm. you know, we got a program here. But actually, we can just install the deities by chanting Hare yeah. Krishna.
Yes, that's a very popular story.
When we think about all these rituals and samskaras, I mean, it's good. I mean, Prabhupada engaged them, but he said at the end of the day, really, you know, heart of it was the chanting.
Yeah, that's why in the beginning of the class, maybe you weren't here as yet, where he's saying that we can argue things from different perspectives. Well, in the context of arguing, which basically means bringing up different views. I don't mean like taking out your boxing gloves and stuff like that. So we can bring different views. So on the flip side, is that, and that's why I mentioned in particular Gopala Bhatta Goswami, that he particularly brought out these books for a reason. Not that just, okay, we write these books and then put them up on the shelf. Bhagavad Gita as it is, exactly as it is, you don't touch it, leave it as it is. No, not like that. You have the books to use them. And he brought out all these instructions for us to use. Not that one get caught in the rituals and forget to chant Hare Krishna. No, but all these are parts of the Sankirtan movement that encompasses everything, that we can use it in the right context. At least that's my take on that, if anyone else has anything to add to say.
Yeah,
Yes, so let's go to Mother Mahamaya, then we can come to Mother Madhumati.
You were asking if anyone knew of where it's written, the guidelines of Garbhadhan Samskara, which I don't know, but certainly by word of mouth, it was clear there wasn't just the 50 rounds to conceive a child. It was also that it was the couple would tell the community that they were performing Garbhadhan Samskara, so that it was not something done behind closed doors in secret. Mm. It was actually, you know, known to the community.
It's, in other words, a public act of devotional service.
Right, and to get people's blessings and so on.
Yes.
But also, I was concerned that when you were saying that when you were performing a Rath Yatra, that some devotees were, senior devotees were chastising you, and I felt like you get so much credit, you and your whole family, you know, do so much to
trust
put on.
Me, that's a big part of the credit. Not only the pat on the head, or the poke
but
in
did
the
you
chest.
Deserve it? That's my question. Did you really deserve their criticism?
Obviously. If not, why would they have done so?
Did you feel they that it was valid?
I learned it, yeah. So I learned that all these, everything that happens in one's life is not by chance. And Krishna is teaching something.
Okay.
So I quoted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. I didn't complete that quote. But the other part of that quote, it says that rather than pry into the faults of others, look deep within our hearts and understand that no one can harm us, only we can harm ourselves. That whenever you're pointing one finger to someone, remember you're pointing three to yourself.
Okay, thanks for your humble.
Yeah, so those things are there, even though I may not understand, but it's there, because it's there for a reason. So. And what I was saying, I was regarding what you talked about, Garbhadhan Samskar. What I was actually asking is, if anyone knew of some quote from Srila Prabhupada where he gave details of that. Yeah, so that was the question. Where any part of his purports or any writings, I haven't run into anything. The only thing is that he gave instruction that we should study them, which means we have to find them from some other source. Yes, Mother Madhumati.
Just a comment on what Mother Mahamaya was talking about, that everybody should, I mean, not everybody, but it should be a public act. And what I heard in Italy, at least, that it was announced that, okay, that the couple is going to be procreating, and so literally the devotees will be doing kirtan outside the yeah, they would do kirtan outside their room.
Only in the Krishna consciousness movement.
Anyway, Hare Krishna. I'm sure Krishna must be amused.
Yes.
I was thinking that how actually, you know, I know one devotee mentioned to me that how, you know, they chanted 50 rounds, you know, for their child, and they conceived in the holy dham, and yet at this stage, the child who's a grown-up has no interest in Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking these things are so complex, like so, you know, we're talking about lifetimes and who knows what and this and that, you know.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada said it right here. He says, this is a very great science. Right, dear Prabhupada said it. This is a very great science. So it's not like, you know, it's just on face, okay, we're going to conceive, we chant 50 rounds.
Yeah, it's so complex.
You know, yeah, but it's, you know, it has to come from the heart. That's what, like, Lord Rishabhadeva was saying in the fifth canto, that you are born from my heart, so we have to bring four children from our heart.
Yeah, but
and
but sometimes,
which means it's a lot of work we have to do.
Yeah, but sometimes you might, for the for the part of conception, you might bring all your heart because you're already attached to having a
something, yeah,
perfect renounced child.
Exactly. Yes. So you know, these things are there. Yeah, that all these, again, Prabhupada said is a great science. So, how do you mold yourself? How do you prepare? It's like a lifetime of preparation. That's all I can say. Mother Gurprasad?
Yeah. On Madhumati's point, conception is just a beginning. You know, we have to teach the children, and, you know, it's not that you conceive them and that's it. Mm. So it's a whole lifetime.
Yes.
And the other thing is, you know, we can actually judge these children at any stage because they have their whole life. I am at the end part of my life, so I'm not about to say, oh, look at this one. This one is in Maya. They have their whole life to get realization and Krishna to guide them. Mm. And Prabhupada, didn't he say it takes a whole community to raise a child, a whole village? So.
A whole village to raise a child.
It's not like we just say, oh, here's a child, this child is like this, and this child, you know. And it's just like us, we have different aspects of our personality, too. People may see one aspect and say something. Like Mahamaya is saying, you're doing great service, somebody's seeing something else, you know, criticizing you. So everything is here for growth.
Everything is there for a purpose. This whole Krishna consciousness movement is so perfectly orchestrated. That's how I started the class. So perfectly orchestrated that our entire lives are encompassed and there's a place for everything. Yes, so everything is here. So we can take last questions. Titidi Muni.
You know that Garbhar Dham thing that they do? We all do, of course.
Closer?
You know, sometimes you hear the question, I might have just recently, you know, that, well, I chanted all those rounds and I got a rotten kid, you know? Or at least the kid wasn't what I was thinking. But, you know, part of that Garbhar Dham Sanskara is to purify the hearts of the participants there, and so that they attract a soul of a quality would be attracted to their consciousness. So just imagine the kind of kids they would have gotten if they didn't chant their 50 rounds.
Hare Krishna. I know we would have been ending with a bang here. Hare Krishna. So, yes, all those things are to be considered on a serious note. Yeah. So, anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.